Oh, it's our turn. Okay, sorry. Just talking to Eddie Olchek about our view. Everybody comes up here wants to talk about the view. That it was not Eddie's first question about the view. He wanted to know what it's like at sunset. All right, here he is because he's a romantic man. That's the thing. That's why we love our Eddie Olchek, who is going to be. You're going to see him tonight on the TV as the Blackhawks take on the Oilers. They're home for 7 in a row. Can I just, before we get to the book, for just 1 second, I'd say ask you about the Blackhawks?
Thank you for having me, and hope you guys are well. Thank you. Good to see you. Thank you very much.
And we know you are, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Eddie Olchek's book, Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life, just came out. This is a must-read for anybody who's had any trial in their life. You know anybody who's had any kind of trial in their life, or you're a hockey fan, you're an Eddie Olchek fan, you're a horse racing fan. He's got it all in this book. It's unbelievable. I can only imagine when he sent the 2,000 pages to his editor at first and said, I think I've got most of it here.
All scribbled in the margins of the daily racing form.
Yeah, exactly. All marked up and ready for your next adventure. And the people at Triumph said, this is not a Webster's or a encyclopedia here. You only can shorten it a couple thousand pages.
Yes, exactly. He was trying to write the Odyssey. It's basically what he was trying to write, and it worked out to be. It's really, really great.
Thank you.
Get to some details on that in just a moment. Can I ask you about the Blackhawks?
Absolutely.
I'm very worried.
It's early.
I know. But does tonight become a must-win?
No, it's not. Okay,
I read that today somewhere.
Well, I mean, look, you haven't won yet. And you got to find a way to get off the schneid. Played better the other night. A couple of acquisitions by general manager Stan Bowman, I thought, had really good games tonight. A couple of guys I'm going to talk about on NBC Sports Chicago with the great Pat Foley when we come on the air tonight at 7:30 with Calvin DeHaan, defenseman, played very well. And I thought Ryan Carpenter had a real strong game.
Been waiting for him to get healthy, right?
Right, DeHaan, exactly. Yeah. And look, lots of change. You know, Jeremy Colleton gets a chance to have his first training camp. Mm. You mentioned a lot of new players. But look, at the end of the day, I mean, this is a results business. And they talked about getting off to a good start and being better defensively. I thought they were better the other night. Still lost. But the first two games, too many mistakes. So an opportunity here to get off the schneid because, look, they're 5-0.
Yeah.
They haven't lost yet. And every game they've come from behind. They've trailed in every game, and they've won all 5 games. So you'll have a couple of days off after tonight, and then you play Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Got to start gaining some traction, gain some confidence. So it's like way too early for musts, but I think musts for a lot of different reasons other than the obvious.
Right. And the thing is, as we know, last year, missing the playoffs, It's these games do every single
first two, 10 two games
points,
are
count, yeah, 2 yeah. points today are yeah. last time I checked are the so, same in March
exactly.
or April right?
right exactly.
I mean unless that's like you're saying 2 points Canadian today so then
on the dollar.
Well, that's only that's 0.098 US I don't know
he's
if you
never getting
out,
into so. The Hall of Fame in Toronto with that kind of
I'll
an attitude
I'm going to
tell you that right
both
now.
My boys were born in Canada and I played half my life in Canada
okay I'm just so. Saying I just
you know what get to even par then on our dollar and then everybody will be happy. I'll get all my money out of here.
I feel like we're gonna hear from Trudeau any minute now. Yes indeed. Eddie, what about the goaltending situation? I think Crawford has been announced as a starter tonight.
Thought maybe Leonard would go. I got asked that question earlier. And Richard and I thought maybe come back with Leonard. Crow's the guy, we know that. I think he's been very good. He's given up a soft goal, in my opinion, in the first two games, but he is the guy. But I thought Leonard played really well for his first full game as a Blackhawk, and really his first full game in almost a couple of weeks because the way the schedule fell, the Hawks went over to Europe. He played a half a game. He didn't play in Prague. If you don't get it, that being goaltending, you're not going to win in the National Hockey League. And I think so far, in my opinion, is that in all three games, the goaltending has given the team a chance to win, and that's all you want.
We haven't had a chance to talk about any on the team since they've been back yet, really, about what that trip was like for them. Do you think in moments like that, it used to be that the Christmas trip were big moments where they'd be on the road for a week or 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And the players always talked about that. This is a little different. They're in Europe, and especially they're coming into contact with some the legends. You know, Marian Hossa was there.
Right. Dominic Hasek was there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of experiences, especially for the younger players, where they're going to remember it the rest of their lives. Probably all the players are going to do that. Think this was good for them?
I think anytime you get a chance to sell the brand, market the brand as the Blackhawks do, as well as any team in professional sports with the leadership they have with Rocky Wirtz and Danny Wirtz and, of course, John McDonough, Jay Blunk all the way through. So I think it's an opportunity to be able to do that. They've been overseas. They've played in all the big games. And, you know, some of these guys have done it all. So I think sometimes it does become a little taxing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an opportunity with so many new faces to get over there and figure things out and get a chance to just, you know, be with the guys. And look, they brought a party, I think, of over 95 people over there. I mean, the Blackhawks, from what I hear, I didn't go. But they, I heard everything was absolutely, you know, as they do everything.
First
1,000% first class. And
they stayed at the Four Seasons.
It was great. Yeah,
the only downside is they were playing on a Slurpee, basically, in terms of the quality of the ice we hear.
It can be. But look, Ro, at the end of the day, right, like what I said earlier, like, you know, if you don't win games, people aren't going to look at that. And, you know, I don't think they're going to blame going to Prague. And I think if you win 15 in a row, you know, people may more lean to go, well, it must have been the bonding trip, right? Mm-hmm. You got to go out and play. It doesn't matter where you're playing.
Still miss the circus trip. I don't miss the circus.
Well, look at when you don't have the circus trip. And look at, I lived it. I lived it for 5 years of my career because I played here. When you lose the circus trip, you make an extra trip or two out west.
Right.
So it's if anything, it's more travel.
Yeah,
because you get those other games out of you go on a 5 or 6 game trip, and
you go later in the season, and it's especially since we play in the West,
right? And the schedule has changed too. The way that, you know, the league over the years, changed with, you know, you're playing this team 2 times this year. You only come at home, so it really depends. But I mean, a lot of things have changed since the circus left town. Yeah,
see that? That's an author there.
Yeah,
you see that?
Yeah, he's been working that.
Just for the record,
yeah.
Some of my former friends and former teammates asked if there were any crayons with this book. And just for the record, no, there are. You think that's why do you laugh at that?
I did not
laugh when I heard that. All I heard after that was click. I just was like, you know what? Screw you. I'm not talking. You're not getting a book. Go buy one. And I'm not giving you one. And I'm gonna, you know what? I'm taking you out.
I'm gonna tell you something. Right,
you're out of the book. That's it.
The book is. We're gonna come back in a second and talk about the book because this is really. We've known each other a long time. When you first were diagnosed, we talked about this. We talked about what a difficult road it was going to be. You were so honest about it, brutally honest about what was lying ahead of you. And you don't shy away from putting that in these pages. So if people, I mean, this is one of the things about this book. It's about sports and it's about, you know, your life as a rink rat and all of that. But more importantly, for people who are suffering, you know, taking on disease, specifically taking on cancer.
Sure.
And it's a tough road. Everybody knows it's going to be a tough road. This gives you a lot of hope. This gives you, including some things that you admit to the darkness of it, which a lot of people want to make it rosy, but you
gloss
can't
over that. Yeah.
But you can't. You have. It's part of the whole experience.
Because I want to help inspire one person, Ro. Like that really, to me, that's the biggest goal of why I did that. I had an opportunity to write a book before about my life and coming from here and overcoming obstacles and people telling me I would never do things and never achieve things and telling me I would eat my way out of the NHL. Well, first off, what's wrong with a hungry hockey player? And I like to eat, right? I mean, you know, so, but like, just if I can help one person either deal with it, stay away from it, or help them get through the day and relate, then you know what? It was well worth the 16-month initiative and the work that we put into the book. And
you inspired a lot of people.
I mean, look, I hope, and they can relate and say, hey, if that old broken-down horse player can do it, then I can do it too. Because look, I had enough quiet time to last me a lifetime in my battle. And I'm very lucky with all the help I had at people at Northwestern, my doctors, my family, the Blackhawks, of course, my wife, Diana, of 31 years, and my kids and my folks. And we did it. I really believe I could not. Look, I proved to myself I'm way tougher than I ever thought I was. And I know there are a lot of people out there that feel that same way. It doesn't have to be about cancer. It could be about anything. And I had so many trials and tribulations. And I don't know. Are we up against a timeout right now? Or
We'll come back in a second. That's a true broadcaster right there.
You had that look in your eye. I mean, it was glistening for a second. And then you looked at me like, just shut up. Let's go.
Did you notice that Pat and I have the same look? Do you see how that works?
Veterans.
Hold on a second. I'll be the one that determines that.
I just compare myself to the great Pat Foley. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
All right, let's check in with Lauren Lapka, find out what's going on in the traffic center right now. Eddie Olchek is in the studio with us. We got Hawks tickets to give away after 4 o'clock. Don't forget about that. I've got Eddie's tickets with me right now. I just took them out of
his. Does that mean I'm going right home from here?
Yes. They don't let you in the game without the ticket, Eddie. I think you know that. This is all courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online, fourseasonsheatingcooling.com, or tune in every Monday all season long for your chance to win a pair of Hawks tickets. All right. Can I continue? Yeah, about the book, Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life. And I want to get to the part of the book. Obviously, there's a lot about your life in Chicago and hockey and all. It's fun. At the end of the book, you turn toward the part of your life that was the most challenging, the day that you got the diagnosis that you had colon cancer and then the ensuing 3-year battle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was August the 4th, 7:07 p.m. when I got the call. And leading up to that, I couldn't go to the bathroom for a couple of days. And I had a colonoscopy set up in November of 2017, and this is early August of or late July of 2017. And I knew I was sick, and they went in and removed the tumor and removed a colon reduction. They took out 14 inches, and they sent the tumor out. And on that night, they called me up at 7:07 p.m. on August the 4th and told me that I had stage 3 colon cancer. And at that phone call, Ro, kind of seemed like everything just flashed before me. And I'm like, okay, well, how long do I have to live? And how am I going to tell my kids? Because as a parent, the last thing you want to do is to hurt your kids, worry your kids. And I'm sure my wife prepped them for the worst. And Dr. Scott Strong from Northwestern and Dr. Ruckham called. And this is the plan, 6 months of chemotherapy. And I said, okay. So to walk down those stairs and see my kids and to tell them was one of the toughest things I had to do. And so I recovered from the surgery that I had from, taking out the tumor. And I started my chemo 30 days later on September 11th, my first treatment. And this is where everything kind of made a turn. And it was my second treatment. And my side effects were, and anybody that knows anything about chemotherapy knows that side effects can be pretty daunting. And it tests your will to live. It really does. And it broke me down. It took me to my knees. And I've never quit in anything in my life. Nothing. Whether I was down 7-1 in a hockey game, 15-1 in a baseball game, or I was down $25 at the racetrack. I'm not going to add a couple of zeros there, Ro, just in case, right? Mm-hmm. So I told my wife after during my second treatment, I said, look, I can't. I quit. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had blood clots, nosebleed, neuropathy. I had bad headaches, and I would just go to the bathroom. Like, I would just go number two without even needing to go, wanting to go. I would just go, and I said, I can't live like this. 2 weeks. 48 hours of chemo for the next 6 months. How am I going to get through today, let alone get to February when it's all over? And I said, I'm done. I'm ready to quit. And I had a pump on and I had a port and the chemo was going in me. And my wife grabbed me. And this is where everything, I needed this. And that's why caretakers and caregivers are so important. My wife looked at me and she said, you need to fight. You need to fight for me. You need to fight for our kids and fight for all the people that love you. And we had a moment, which lasts 30 minutes, and all I did was cry. And I said, okay. And then I put my hockey helmet back on, and I started getting back to what helped me become the hockey player that I was and to be able to overcome a lot of those things. And that was the turning point for me, Richard and Roe. It was. I can't look it. If I was by myself, I would not be here. I know that. And the people that I had supporting me from my doctors and my family, and I say that with all due respect, and thanks is not enough, but the Blackhawks and just, the leadership over there, and Dr. Michael Terry, who was my team doctor and kind of team Olchek, and I needed that. I needed to hear that from my wife, and I just went, okay, I'm going to go day to day. I'm going to breathe, and I'm going to fight through this, and the chemo's not going to break me down, because like I said earlier, I had enough quiet time to last me a lifetime, and I know there are people out there that are battling, and it hurts, and you're by yourself, and you have these thoughts. And look, I think with the book, I hope I make you laugh. I know I will make you cry, but most importantly is that I think you'll love a little bit more. And the only reason I say that is because I learned this somewhere, is that I've always expressed myself to the most important people in my life. I've always let them know how I felt about them. I've always told them that I loved them. And I always told my wife, I said, look, if something would ever happen to me, now listen to what I say. If something would happen to me, it would kill me to know that you didn't know how I felt about you. And she says, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to happen. But what happened for me was is that when I was going through this battle, and even though I had those ups and downs, I was at peace. That at the end of the 6 months, if they told me, okay, Edzo, you've had a hell of a life, and you know it's your time, I was at peace. And I think that helped me, knowing that my family and the people in my so-called circle have known how I felt about them. And that helped me. And I don't know where I learned it, Rowan, Richard. I don't know. But I was at peace going through that battle. And it was hard. It tests your will to live.
Sure.
And I pray for anybody out there. And I know there are a lot of people out there that are in a battle, are way worse off than Eddie Olczyk ever was. My wife and I try to be, very much out there when it comes to the caretakers and caregivers, because they're so important in these battles.
He's got two book signings. Anderson's Bookshop on Thursday in Naperville, and that's going to be at 6 o'clock at night. And then the Costco in Schaumburg, 11 a.m. on Thursday, October 19th. Wait, hold on. We got two Thursdays.
Saturday the 21st. Yeah, right.
Saturday the 21st. Yeah. All right. At Costco in Schaumburg.
Yeah.
The great Eddie Olczyk, beating the odds in hockey and in life. You've got to get this. Get it now. Give it for Christmas. Give it for Thanksgiving. Give it for people who are going through any kind of battle, have any kind of thing going on in their life that they need inspiration from. It's one of the best inspiring books I have ever read. Thank you so much for doing
this. Thank you for having me, guys. Keep up the great work.
News in two.